You are listening to Pacific Beer Chat. We are a collective of West Coast beer bloggers sharing our opinions on events, issues, and well-crafted brews. We discuss both local and international issues and aim to educate and entertain. We are a part of the Hopped Up Network.
It's that time of year again. The BC Beer Awards are closing in on their 9th annual awards night. The Awards and Beer Festival are on October 20th, 2018 at the Croatian Cultural Center in Vancouver. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes when it comes to hosting an event such as this. For the first time, Carnell and I were invited behind the scenes on day 3 of the judging to give our listeners an idea of what goes on behind the scenes. So we hope you enjoy this, and just before we get started, here's a word from the Hopped Up Network.
If you are looking for more beer podcasts just like the one you're listening to right now, then head on over to hoppedupnetwork.com. We are a podcast network focused on our local craft beer communities. Here's a quick example of one of the many podcasts you will find.
Buffalo, the industrial powerhouse of the early 20th century. The grain elevators now stand silent on the shores of the Great Lakes, casting their shadow on the City of Light. A city known for blizzards, chicken wings, and Super Bowl losses, where even the natural magnificence of Niagara Falls can't help but magnify the rusted-out shell of a once-great city. Not anymore. Buffalo is a city on the rise again. New industry, green spaces, waterfront development, and the revival of Buffalo's proud brewing past are building the new Buffalo. With over 25 local breweries open in the last decade, Buffalo has an amazing brewing community. Join me as I talk to local brewers about making great beer. Sometimes we talk about the 716, and sometimes we talk shop to help you brew better. Find us at WNY.beer or on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook at WNYBrews.
I'd like to introduce Chester. He's one of the ones that runs one of the most important parts of the BC Beer Awards, the judging. How many breweries are involved this year and how many beers?
Good questions. I think there was about 113 breweries that registered this year. One or two of them may have failed to get their beers in on time, so that number may not be exact. We won't have a full count until we're through judging and see which beers actually all arrived. And something like 1,080 entries. Again, though, that can vary a little bit up or down depending on what actually arrived and whether or not something just wasn't entered quite right.
Definitely. Well, with you being one of the ones that runs the judging here, what's your background in craft beer and judging in general?
My background in craft beer and judging in general, I've been in craft beer since almost before the BC craft beer scene was really what it is today. I was at Brewery Creek liquor store since 2007. I was a certified sommelier before I started there. The Cicerone program launched about the same year that I started there. I became one of the first certified beer servers in Canada, the first certified Cicerone in Canada, and at the same time the local homebrew community started up and Van Brewers started organizing and getting people through the BJCP program, so I became a BJCP certified judge. And with some background with a wine competition or two, we decided we would start this. And we did it a little bit more ad hoc the first year or two, and then moved towards the BJCP standard and using BJCP judges probably by year 3, and have been using that format going forward since. This is year 9 now.
Yeah. What are some of the qualifications that are required for someone to judge the Beer Awards?
Willingness and patience. I mean, we can teach people how to judge. We are using, I think everybody here is either a certified Cicerone or a certified BJCP judge, and you can get either of those certifications by going and doing an exam, which includes both a written portion and a tasting portion. They're good exams. They're good standards to use as a baseline. Yeah.
Definitely.
I heard a rumor recently that, as you say, it's come so far since 2007, or I'm sorry, was it 2007 when you guys started?
10.
It was 2010 when we started this, yeah.
But you've taken so many people that were involved in this to the get-go, or from the start, and they've gone into positions within the industry that I heard you might be having a little bit of trouble finding judges because so many people have, you know, used this as a stepping stone to become more involved in other bits and pieces.
So it sort of works both ways. Initially, we were reluctant to use anybody who'd entered any beers at all because with a smaller number of entries, it's really hard to sort of keep the people who have made the beers away from the beers that they've made. And you're right, a lot of the people that sort of came through the judging side of things or came through the homebrew community have then gone on to positions within professional breweries, even if that's just managing the tasting room and not actually brewing any of the beer at all. Mm-hmm. But now with the number of entries that we've got and the size of the categories and the way that we're able to separate them all electronically, we can have somebody from a brewery judge a category of beer that they haven't entered any beers into. Mm-hmm. So there's no real conflict. They're one of often 8 people, and they're only basically seeing a quarter of the beers. So a pair of judges will see a quarter of the beers. From that, they'll put 2 or 3 forward.
Right.
The other 6 people see the other 75% of the beers. They're also each pair putting 2 or 3 forward. Then 3 people are probably going to go through those 8 or 12 beers and come up with an eventual first, second, third. Mm-hmm. And so we are able to keep people isolated from beers that they've brewed or beers that they've had contact with. And they're also not able to just, like, identify their competition and prevent them from going forward either, because there's just so many beers and they only get to sample and assess so many of them.
It's awesome. And I mean, I know it's an oft-heard retort, but it's you know, it's great to see that the community exists in that way, that a competition helps support breweries, and the breweries are coming back and continuing to support the competition.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it becomes sort of a logistical headache, but it works.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. If you want board show or a ceremony like this to be recognized, you got to have a high standard of judging. Can you talk a little bit on the programs, like the BJCP and Cicerone, what they train people to do?
Yeah, sure. We have to use those also as sort of broad strokes.
Yeah.
BJCP is a little bit narrow with how they define most of their styles, and then they have 1 or 2 really broad categories that are maybe then a little bit too broad.
Yep.
But they do help people sort of get a rough baseline for what should this type of beer mostly be like. What would be way off for a stout? Like, this is very incredibly pale, mm-hmm. has no roasty character at all. Maybe this is not a stout at all. Maybe this could be entered somewhere else. But at the very end, it comes down to deciding, once you've eliminated anything that's, like, way off, what you're really enjoying and what you think is just a really good example of that beer and moving it forward. And then they discuss.
Yeah.
Like, what is everybody enjoying about this? What is maybe not quite working? Is this one smoother or crisper, or does it seem to showcase the hop just a little bit better, depending on what type of beer it is?
I spoke to you about this last year because I've been critical in the past of the beer judging. It's really great to hear that, and I think I missed out on that explanation about how it works as a baseline. And then, as you say, you guys are able to discuss, throw at anything that's obviously way off, and it's you know, it makes sense. You know, you need that baseline, and then you can sort of go from there. So it's cool that you have that, and then you're obviously judging from that point forward.
Well, and I think if you work sort of backwards from the end, where we're going to end up with 30 beers all from very different categories, and you're going to try to narrow that down to one beer that seems to be absolutely the best at a day, the judges are very good at comparing things that are from radically different categories and trying to decide which one seems to be just sort of a slightly better version of something, or slightly more drinkable or more enjoyable, or has just sort of an ephemeral quality that makes it just a little bit superior. And so if you can do that at the end with all of those best examples from each of those individual categories, then within each of those categories, you can also sort of narrow down a lot of qualities and let things rise to the top.
Do you know how many categories you've broken down the beers this year into?
I think it's 32.
Okay.
But I might be off by that.
Well, yeah, I know. It's just a generalization, but that's quite a few categories. That's good. Opens things up to allow some beers to flourish when they couldn't before.
Yeah. And, I mean, we do have to sort of look at things. If, for example, we get 100 beers entered as fruit and 100 beers entered as fruit and spice, then maybe that becomes 2 separate categories as opposed to just one.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if we get 4 Irish ales and 3 Scottish ales, maybe Scottish Irish becomes a single category.
Definitely.
Where in previous years, maybe that could have been 2.
Yeah.
It's sort of each year the beers entered into each category varies, and so we do adjust slightly within that.
It's always been an issue for categories like IPA.
Yeah. Yes.
Especially now.
Which I think there's technically going to be 4 different IPA categories, IPA and specialty IPA, and a separate specialty IPA plus Imperial IPA, I think all those different categories this year.
Nice.
So anything taken you by storm? Has there been a whole bunch of wheat beers coming out or something that you didn't expect, or has it been pretty much status quo?
Pretty much. I mean, the fruit entries were a little high this year, but everything else has been pretty typical.
How many judges do you usually have at these events?
Over the course of sort of the 3 days that it takes us to do it, we probably see about 60 different judges, but on a given day, usually there's between 20 or 30 working on a specific session.
Wow. And this is session one, is it?
No, this is our final session.
Oh.
For the most part. We're hoping to get through the remainder of the categories and do the best of show at the end of day today.
That's impressive.
Wow.
I guess you talked about it a little bit, but can you talk on how you break down the judging panel to cover all of these groups of beers? Because there's no, I've done some non-BJCP judging before, some very rudimentary judging, and you can't do all the beers.
No, you can't. So 12 is sort of a rough number. If there was, say, 36 beers in a category, we would probably want to have three pairs of two working on that if we can. If there's 30 beers, that might only be two pairs of two,
yeah,
which means they do more like 15. So 12 roughly is a number that we divide the categories up by.
I can kind of see the answer to it, but do the judges do all the tasting themselves, or do they kind of work together in groups to kind of come to their consensus?
So initially in pairs, just to sort of narrow the field a little bit down to the prime examples, and then a smaller panel of three or four or five will taste through sort of what has risen up, and from that come up with the first, second, third. And then at the very end, we're typically going to have 8, 9, 10 judges taste through all of the 30 best beers to try to come up with what we think is the best beer of the day.
Nice. Well, there's a lot of steps to judging a beer. It's not just take a sip and go, oh, I like this. Can you kind of talk on what steps these judges go through to pick what is a good beer, a not as good beer, a great beer?
Yeah, fair. So, again, we're using the BJCP format, which breaks things down initially by aroma, then appearance, then the flavor, separate from the flavor, sort of your mouthfeel, and then your sort of overall impression of the beer. The heavily weighted categories are how the beer smells, how the beer tastes, and your overall impression is also fairly highly weighted.
Yeah.
What it looks like and its mouthfeel don't contribute nearly as much to sort of the point system that we use. So roughly, they just sort of break it down through that. And if it's something like, again, an Imperial Stout, you're going to expect it to be fairly heavy.
Yeah.
If it's really not heavy, you may question why. It shouldn't have any sour characteristic to it.
Right.
That should be a sour beer. Mm-hmm. So look for that. Is it sort of roasty, smooth? What are these other characters that I'm getting? And am I tasting and smelling cocoa? And if it smells really, really strongly like cocoa and I taste it and then I get none of that, maybe it's the smell is promising something that the flavor isn't delivering. But also, is there something wrong with it? And with commercial examples, you usually hope that nothing is wrong with it, but that's not always the case.
Oh,
sometimes
definitely.
They're just stale or something's gone wrong during the brewing process.
Oh, I mean, sometimes everything tastes great, and then a couple of months down the road, you open a bottle and go, oh, crap.
Exactly. And because we only do this one time a year, and some of these entries come from, I'm not sure where they're kept, actually.
Yeah.
But
closets.
Sometimes they're not always perfect. Or even good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's interesting, though, as you explain what you're doing as you're going through as you're judging. And I think to a lot of people, when you hear it spread out like that, you're thinking, oh, wow, that's sort of a really scientific way to do it. But at the same time, it's really how you drink beer generally, right? You're just maybe not aware of it. The first thing you do is you get the aroma, you're tasting, you're enjoying, you're doing all those things. But I suppose you're just, when you're judging, you're trying to be more aware of those things that you're doing.
Yeah, really the difference between judging beer and drinking beer is you just put a little bit more thought behind the what am I tasting? How does this compare to other things just in general?
Mm-hmm.
What components do I like? What components do I dislike? What seems great? What seems out of place?
It's just important to pour that beer in a friggin' glass, right? I don't know how you smell it out of the nose of the bottle or the can.
You can't.
Yeah.
But that's a different discussion, I think.
Oh, it definitely is. It's always good to mention, though. Judging, obviously, for something like this has to be blind. It's the only way to make the awards impartial. How do you ensure this happens? How do you keep the judges away from the beers?
Well, I mean, we do just have a sort of a wall of empty cans that are stacked up there separating the two of them. But the cups that go out to the judges who stay in their area just have numbers on them. And the stewards pouring them are also just pouring based on a number. And several days before the competition, we have a second list that basically breaks everything that's entered by brewery into each of its individual categories with specific numbers. And we do that sort ahead of time. So none of the judges are there for that. We've got everything pre-sorted. And then the stewards are effectively, it's double blind. They're entering things by entry number and putting the entry number onto the cup. And that's what's going up to the judges.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess obviously it's an audio show, so no one can see. But if you were here, where you're looking at a picture, it's basically all the judges sitting at tables. And then at the back, there's a barrier, like you say, of cans. And some stewards doing hard work back there.
Yeah.
Making sure their judges can't see what's going on.
Yeah. I think we might be able to take a picture from a distance to keep everything hidden, oh, sure. But still show off what's happening here.
It almost reminds me of, I don't know, like a medieval dinner. You know, you got a bunch of people at long tables hanging out, lots of beards, and people bringing them booze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I imagine the 1200s were like.
I guess I've seen it in my own personal experience. Do things ever get heated at these tables when they're debating beer, especially when you're getting to the best of show and everything?
Some judges are definitely more vocal than others, but usually, with the best of show, because that really, when you're comparing two very different styles, really comes down a lot to opinion.
Yeah.
When you've got two great examples, you've got a great Pilsner and a great Saison, and trying to decide whether the Saison or the Pilsner is better. Yeah, that can get a little bit heated.
And when you're talking best in show, I know, as you say, you take some of the best, the winners from certain categories, and you push them forward, and then you sort of have it out. At what point do you become aware of what that beer actually is, or do you not? Is it still, we're talking beer 3 versus beer 6 and having the argument about 3 versus 6?
Again, it's 3 versus 6, so you would know that 3 would be a Saison, but that's really all that you're going to know.
They will know the style they're drinking?
They'll know the style that they're drinking. I mean, if it's, for example, was a fruit beer or some sort of specialty beer, if somebody had entered, I don't know, say a licorice Imperial Stout, some people might be able to guess which brewery made that. Or if it was a few years ago and it was, say, a watermelon wheat beer, people may have been able to hypothesize which brewery made that. And that's, we do have,
spit the seed at the brewery.
I think at the moment, 5 or 6 out-of-town judges here, which also really helps for categories like that. Whenever possible, we like to give them things like the fruit beer or the specialty spiced beers, where sort of just the list of spices almost identifies what the beer is to somebody who really knows the industry here.
Right.
It's also nice, too, because it gets an outside opinion of our local beers.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to know the industry. They're going to know their own, and it makes it even more impartial.
Which we always aim for.
Definitely. I guess one thing I've dealt with before is palate fatigue. How do you deal with palate fatigue for these judges, especially like hitting up some IPA categories or whatever?
They are professionals, and that most of them have done this several times at this point, and often several times throughout the year. And we give them lots of water, lots of food, and lots of bread to help break things up.
Yeah.
But at some point, a judge has to sort of know their own limits and just tap out, which is why we have to have so many people here in order to get through all of those beers.
Yeah, definitely.
Because towards the latter half of the day, we do start to see a bit of attrition.
Yeah. Looking around, I think the local bakeries must be very happy this time of year.
Yes.
You've done a run on baked goods, for sure.
We appreciate everybody coming out to volunteer their time, so we try to get better and better food every year and make sure that everybody sort of wants for nothing while they're here and can recover their palate or recharge an energy if they're starting to fade a little bit.
And is it always bakery sort of breads and things the best thing for clearing your palate for people who are getting more into tasting? Or
generally speaking, water and plain bread, or if you really want to get really specific about it, the best thing is porridge. But we can't really keep a big pot of porridge here. But sort of because it's even more gummy and just neutral in flavor, something like grits or oatmeal would really just leave your palate completely clean and you'd be able to taste again.
I mean, we're in a brewery right now. Isn't there any spent grain?
Yeah.
practically porridge.
I see, everything about this is becoming more medieval to me, right? Like, the rich people get the booze at their tables. Everybody else is eating porridge and plain bread.
So breweries have to obviously send their beer in to be judged. What kind of packaging type do you accept? And how long do they have to be sent in before they're judged?
When did we sort all of these? We sorted all of these Tuesday night. They were supposed to be in by last Friday. So the week before we judge them, they need to be in. The week before that is usually when we cut off the electronic entry for the registration. We encourage everybody to put everything into a bomber box and use just enough additional packing to avoid any sort of breakage during shipping. But yeah. We get an assortment of packaging formats and packing levels and labeling standards. So we may do a video of what we encourage as the best practice for next year.
I guess it's hard because some breweries only do bombers, some only do cans, some only do certain types of cans.
As far as that doesn't really matter. We discourage people from using growlers, and we have now capped out bottle size at 1 liter,
okay.
And we require a minimum of 4 individual samples of the beer. So if you're entering 1 liter bottles, that's 4 1 liter bottles. But a 6-pack of cans or a 4-pack of cans also does just fine. We leave that up to them. It's more about how they then label and package those and get them to us. Ideally, we want everything to be sort of uniform and stackable in the boxes that it comes in.
And you want those 4 bottles so that at each stage you can open a brand new bottle or can or whatever, right?
Ideally, we should only need 3 stages. If a beer is progressing forward, the initial tasting, if it then advances to that mini best of show round, another tasting where it can become first, second, or third in its category. And if it's become first, then it's going to go to the final best of show round, at which point it's going to be opened again.
Yeah.
And again, everybody is going to taste it. But having an extra one in case one of those is a little bit off, or particularly if it goes all the way to the best of show round, smaller bottles, sometimes having one more, particularly if you've got 8 or 9 judges all tasting that same beer, can be really handy.
Yeah, definitely. But
otherwise, all of the spare bottles go to the volunteers.
Which I love that fact. Yeah, that's great. I also love the fact that you collect your beer so late in the game, because I've heard of a lot of American judged events like this, and they send them in months in advance. And some beers just don't fare well like that.
Well, there's that. And I mean, realistically, the real estate in Vancouver is really expensive. Nobody is going to give us the space to store that many pallets of beer that far ahead of time.
Yeah.
And anywhere that we could store them like that wouldn't be ideal. So we cut it fairly close, but that's partially so that people can get their beers in at the very, very last minute for optimal freshness, but also because we have to do it that way.
Definitely. But it also is just nicer to see a fresh product judged, because it's not usually the case.
Well, on the opposite end, I was talking to a brewery owner the other day, and they had put aside some of their beers, big beers that could be aged well, and they thought they had enough put aside, and somebody had taken them. So they had to go to their personal stash of this particular beer and make sure it was their last 2 bottles, and they were pretty choked, but you know, it might turn out for the best for them. Maybe they'll get a medal out of it.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Good luck.
I guess you don't have them long, but just as important as getting the beer here is treating it properly. How are you able to do that? How do you treat it?
So depending on where we're judging, and this year we are at the Dogwood Brewery, and we have 2 reefer trucks. But at other facilities that we've judged at, we've had access to very large walk-in, or in the case of the direct tap space, much larger than walk-in. Like, you could drive into that. you could maybe drive an aircraft carrier into that facility. And we want to have every category chilled down before judging. So ideally, we sort. Keep everything in a fridge up until it gets moved to its final judging location, and then try to load things in half a day to a day for each of the beers so that they're nice and chilled down and at the right temperature.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's awesome to hear how everything is done and how you guys have been involved, or you specifically haven't been involved for so long in the industry and this competition. So what I'm really curious about is, what do you see as the significance of beer competitions in the industry, or specifically the BC Craft Beer Awards?
Good question. When we started it way back, it was more to acknowledge that there were some breweries making some really great beer in the province. At the time, there was fewer of them, and at Brewery Creek in particular, we were selling a lot of American craft beer,
mm-hmm.
Which to some extent I think spurred a lot of local competition to come up. Within just about any industry, if there's not competition, mm-hmm. then often the quality standards, there's no need to make a better product if somebody else isn't already making a better product. So initially it was more that, but now it's just about recognizing sort of all of the awesome that's happening in the industry and helping making consumers aware, because this is province-wide.
Yeah.
So we will maybe have some winners from like northern parts of BC or the Kootenays, and reminding people that we have some great breweries there besides just the breweries in Vancouver. We're reminding people in those areas of some of the great beers in Vancouver. So if they're ever on their way here, they've got sort of a list to hit up and pick from.
Awesome. Yeah, it's funny you say that. Like, every time it comes to BC Beer Awards and you see the list or you're at the event and you hear them being announced, it reminds you just how many breweries there are and how varied they are. You sort of get caught in this bubble, I think, if you live in Vancouver, of the amazing breweries that we have all across the region. And then, you know, the quick ones to get to, even the Okanagan. But yeah, there's a whole other world of beer out there and small towns all over northern BC and northern Vancouver Island and
Kootenays.
It's a great way. I'm so happy that the other breweries up there see the value in it and try and get their product down here for an event like this or just through general distribution.
And so do we.
Yeah. And so my next question within that is, I was going to say, what do you think has been the positive effect on the industry from the competition, and also vice versa? What's the effect the industry's had on you guys as a competition?
I'm not sure how to answer that. I mean, we've had to, with the increasing number, like our entry numbers go up by 10 or 15% every year. So we've had to figure out how to scale, figure out how to adjust categories within sort of specialty categories, decide what to break out based on what is sort of trending and what we're seeing a lot of at a given time. So to some extent, the industry sort of pushes us that way. Just sort of spreading that there's a lot of really great beer being produced in the industry, I think, is what we've sort of contributed, but that's sort of generic. I mean, there's lots of competitions. There's the Canadian Brewing Awards. There's the World Beer Cup. Within those, only so many BC beers are going to be recognized, so right. It is sort of nice this way, and it is nice that this is judged by professionals, so it's not just a popularity contest like
right.
a lot of the local media would do with mm-hmm. sort of their best of editions,
yep. yeah.
which can also be good.
Yep.
Knowing what the public's favorite is great, but the public isn't going to try it unless maybe somebody is recommending it,
right.
and that's sort of where we would fill that gap.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I guess one thing I would like to ask, there's a lot more breweries in the province than there are putting into this competition. Is there a way you can think to try to drive these breweries to finally get involved? Because it'd be nice if we had a beer awards where every brewery put in beer. I know it's hard.
We're hitting, I think, close to 90-95% of the breweries at this point. Initially, we were probably closer to 75.
Okay.
I don't know that I'm ever going to be able to get Molson to enter the beers that they brew here.
Yeah.
But I send them an email every year to their info at address because I don't know where else to send it.
Yeah.
Right? Hoping that they will also enter their beers. And we do often have, like Pacific Western is a fairly big brewery,
right?
but
yeah.
their Caribou or one of their other beers often wins the sort of the light lager category
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
being a big brewery doesn't mean that you can't make a good beer of a very specific style.
Yeah.
It just tends to mean that you tend to make very few styles.
Right.
It's often, it costs too much to make good beer, so you make cheaper beers.
Yes, but sometimes there are good types of cheap beer.
Yeah.
If you want to...
If you're into that thing, yeah
exactly.
Definitely.
And they too should be recognized.
Yeah.
So just to be clear, that's the line. If a beer is produced in BC, fermented in BC, then it is eligible to be judged.
It has to be fermented in BC, and it has to be a BC-owned entity that's brewing it. So
okay.
a brewery from the U.S. couldn't open up a satellite brewery here
right.
and brew the same brands that they're brewing in the U.S., nor could a brewery in Alberta open up a satellite facility here.
Yeah.
But if they are brewing a brand specifically here that isn't coming from their other market,
yes,
then that could be entered, yes.
So brands like, is it Odin's out of Tequila, Washington?
Oh.
If they were brewing at a facility here, no, they wouldn't be able to enter. But if, say, Big Rock had a brewery here, which they do, and if they produced some beer and bombers here, separate from what's being produced at their Alberta facility, those would be eligible.
Right.
Or somebody like Granville Island, who's moved some of their production to the Creemore facility back east, those beers would not be able to be entered, but the ones produced here, again, could be.
Right. Okay. Okay. Sounds fair.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I would love to see some Molson beer. I mean, we probably, as the general public, what happens behind closed doors stays behind closed doors. But more recently, I've been trying to open up my eyes to simply good beer. And as you say, it's kind of surprising. I've never been a locker person, but I've been trying some Morwell Camping this summer. And I was kind of shocked at my preferences for lagers. I was going more the macro route than the craft route. That's just a personal thing, but it was a surprising turn of events for me.
Blind tastings can be very informative, not just judging, just on sort of a personal level, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's why I don't like macro lagers, is I don't like don't like many low-flavor beers in general, and that's just my own thing, my own issue. And I tried lots of them in China recently. I guess, is there anything else you'd kind of like to share with our listeners about the BC Beer Awards?
I mean, you've touched on a lot of the points that we're into sort of our ninth year at this point, close to 1,100 beers entered, more than 110 breweries that have registered, which, again, is a big portion of the province that we're open to every beer produced in BC, whether it's produced at a brew pub in a 50-liter system or produced 40,000 liters at a time in a very, very large facility. As long as it's produced here, they can enter, and we would love for those breweries to be recognized and the brewers that make them.
Yeah, I mean, that just means it's best beer wins then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, in theory. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, well, I mean, we live in a province that seems to win a disproportionate amount of awards on the national and even international scale for Canada. So things like this are really important, so keep up the good work.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited for the awards, and I'm sure it'll be a blast when it happens in a couple weekends.
The 20th of October, I think.
20th of October.
So I look forward to see who wins.
Perfect.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in. If you want to check out more about the BC Beer Awards, go to bcbeerawards.com or look up BC Beer Awards on any social media platform at BC Beer Awards. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy Pacific Beer Chat and would like to help make the show even better, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/pacificbeerchat or click on our support tab on the website and check out our affiliate links. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as hoppedupnetwork.com or pacificbeerchat.com. Leave us a review on iTunes to help raise our exposure and just get us more listeners. Drop us a line at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com, and to play us out, here is Lothian by Conundrum by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
all of my marches through the dark. I found out so much then, so much more than I can't know. I wanted you so badly by my side. I cursed our time apart, the beginning of the end.